I may break out in a hog call. Something just came across my feed. I believe the number two ranked.
If you're going to do that, would you put your head back just a little bit?
I may break out in a hog call. Colin Clay, top five wide receiver in the country, committed to the Razorbacks today, which puts the Hogs at number 10 in the country recruiting. And there's no question the Hogs will have the best wide receiving group in the country coming in. They've got like five or six 5- and 4-star wideouts coming to the Razorbacks, and the number one tight end in the country committed to them as well. So Chad Morris and the offensive staff definitely turning around the offense. They got a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball. LSU, don't worry, South Carolina fans, the only worst team against the run is the Hogs, man. They can't stop Lonzo and me for rushing for 200. Horrendous run defense. So they'll get that fixed as well. But big news for the Razorbacks, getting a top five wideout in the country going to the Razorbacks. The Patriots right now in the NFL sit atop the AFC East 7-3, two games back of the Dolphins. You feel pretty sure that conference is pretty much over. The only drama going on in the AFC East right now is the Todd Bowles firing watch. Did you happen to watch the Jets play Buffalo yesterday?
No, I did not. I can proudly say I did not watch that.
You know, I wondered why every time I flipped over to AMC, it had Scarefest on, and I expected to see Michael Myers, but instead it was the Jets versus the Bills, and they did play the Michael Myers theme song because it was scary horrendous. And look, I don't want to bash Todd Bowles. Coaching, it's a tough profession. Enough people are doing that, but at what point do the players take ownership, especially at the NFL level, for their conduct and the way they approach the game? And right now, you know, there's several teams that are out of it, namely the Raiders. The Raiders are trying to get the number one pick. Make it – don't mistake it. Gruden and them are after the number one pick, and they're going to get it. But if you're a part of the Jets and you're a part of the Raiders, the only thing that you can do as a player is continue to be a professional – and the hope that another team picks you up because you're having a good year and you're producing and you get the heck out of there as fast as you can.
Yeah, I mean, you want another team to go, man, that team was horrible, but he stood out. He played really well.
Correct.
We want that guy on our team.
On our team. And so you try to market yourself by showing out on a bad team. That's the way college kids stand out to the NFL guys. You're on a bad team, stand out. That's how high school players stand out to colleges. You're on a bad team, stand out. Be the difference maker, not the excuse maker. The Chiefs have, all intents and purposes, wrapped up the AFC West. One and a half, two-game lead on the Chargers. Although they've got a tough matchup, which could be a Super Bowl precursor this weekend against the Rams in Mexico City. You're a little worried there, Lonzo.
Yeah,
why?
This is good. Well, they've had a couple big tests, and this is a big test. I mean, the Rams, even without Cooper Kupp, that hurts them a great deal, but the Rams are still a really good team. So,
yeah, I'm picking them to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. I'm going to do it now. I was on the fence. The fence is no place to be. You need to jump one way or the other.
I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
The reason I'm going with it is twofold. They can beat you running the ball, they can beat you throwing the ball, and they've got an outstanding defense. You know, Sean McVay right now, there's two guys I love to watch calling plays in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan at the 49ers and Sean McVay with the LA Rams. Now, Shanahan is not getting the publicity because he's got a bad team. But his concepts and the things that he does offensively are awesome. And if you love football and you love to deep dive into what it is to call plays, those two guys are must-see television. The Steelers have wrapped up the AFC North practically. They got a two-game lead on the Bengals, who just fired their defensive coordinator today. Chopping season in the NFL. The AFC South, that's still up to grabs. 1 to 2 games separates the Texans, Titans, and Colts. Although right now the Texans at 6-3. Titans, big win over New England, obviously. The Redskins, everybody keeps talking about the NFC East. I don't think it's going to be that competitive. Unless there is some type of catastrophic meltdown, Washington should win that with relative ease. The Rams have wrapped up with their win over the Seahawks. They're 9-1. Seahawks are 4 games back. That race is over. The NFC North. See, to me, the most competitive division in football is the NFC North. Between the Bears, Vikings, and Packers. 1 game separates those three teams. And any one of those three can win it.
See, I hate this. I just don't see the Packers doing it. I just don't.
See, you second guess Aaron Rodgers all you want.
It's not about Aaron Rodgers. It's about the rest of the team. Who's Aaron Rodgers' receivers? I mean, I'm sorry. I mean,
Davante Adams just had a monster game.
What about their defense?
Well, I mean, you can outscore people. That's a legitimate concern, is defensively. But I mean, the Packers are sitting there at 4-4-1, and they're only 1 game out of it. 1 game from winning the division. I'll take Aaron Rodgers versus a division any day of the week. I'm not buying the Vikings. I'm sort
don't,
of buying.
Don't get me wrong. I would like to see Green Bay win that division. I just.
Look, the Bears had them dead to rights and lost at home to open the season. Remember that game? When old number 12 did his magic, went right down the field, heartbreaker. That's what great quarterbacks do. They break your hearts. The Saints, how good is New Orleans? 8-1 on the year. I love the way, you know, Sean Payton worked for the Cowboys under Bill Parcells as the offensive coordinator. You know, there's all this distraction about Dallas getting rid of Jason Garrett. I wish, please, Jerry Jones, go after Sean Payton. I love Sean Payton. I love the way he calls a game. I love the way that they're using Tyson Hill. You want to talk about a game to watch? Go back and watch the rewind of the clinic that Sean Payton and the Saints put on this past weekend. See, to me, the NFC is going to come down to the Saints and the Rams. In pro football, 9 times out of 10, the best teams during the regular seasons generally become the best teams come playoff time. The exception to that rule is the Kansas City Chiefs, who always bit the bit in the playoffs.
It's because they couldn't get past Pittsburgh. Every time they had to go to Pittsburgh, well, you keep winning, you don't have to go to Pittsburgh. You've already won in Pittsburgh.
No excuses this year, bro.
I don't think Mahomes is afraid of any home field.
Here's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be Kansas City, New England, and the AFC Championship.
I know what you're going to say.
And here's what it's going to come down to. Can Mahomes handle the stage? That's it. That's all it's going to come down to. Because Kansas City is better 1 through 53 than New England is, except for one position. And that's quarterback. And can Mahomes look across there and see the greatest quarterback that's ever played the game and say, I've got to go beat him? For the AFC, not in the regular season, not in the wild card, not in the divisional, for the AFC championship.
This is why Kansas City losing to New England was the best thing that could happen to them early on. Because they went to New England and Mahomes knows he had a chance. Well, if they continue as they are now, it goes through Kansas City. Kansas City has home field, so you're going to be at home, so you don't have to worry about the nervousness of being somewhere else if that's the case. And he's already looked across and seen who you consider the greatest quarterback of all time. I'm not going to say that, But he's already seen him.
It's not debatable.
No, it's always
debatable. It's not debatable.
It's always debatable.
Name me one.
Joe Montana will always be the greatest quarterback of all time to me.
Why? He had a Hall of Famers all over the place. I would put him at number two.
He's always going to be number one for me. But I think Mahomes looks across and goes, yeah, I can stand with this guy. I mean, he's already set touchdown records, all this kind of stuff. Dude is amazing. And imagine what his career will be like if he can continue doing what he's doing now 5 years from now, if he stays healthy.
The question coming out of the NFL in both sides, in the AFC and the NFC, is going to be the wild card. Because I believe outside of the NFC North, there's not a whole lot of drama. The Saints are going to win the South. The NFC North is still up for grabs. The Rams have wrapped up the West, and the Redskins are going to win the East. They're the best team. So then that leaves your two wild card teams.
You know, last Thursday, I would have said the Panthers very easily, but you know, now I'm a little concerned.
Well, it's going to come, in my estimation, it's going to come down to the Panthers and whoever comes in second in the NFC North. It has to. And my money's on the Panthers because it seems like they've solidified. One thing that I haven't heard a lot of people talk about when it comes to the Panthers is as well as this offensive line has been playing. This is the best offensive line play I've seen since Ron Rivera's been the head coach. That they are doing an outstanding job up front. And Christian McCaffrey is everything as advertised that they hope he would be coming out of Stanford.
He definitely is. But the defense, which has been a mainstay, they've got some major holes for some reason. And is it age? What is it?
Well, it's called the NFL in the modern age.
It's not Kuechly. I mean, I think the linebacker core is still playing pretty well. They're just not getting enough pressure on quarterbacks, and the secondary has always been a question.
It has, and the front seven has masked over a lot of the deficiencies that the secondary has had, although they have gotten better and have upgraded somewhat. But overall, I think the Panthers are okay. I think they make the playoffs. And then other than that, I mean, you've got to go with whoever finishes second in the NFC North. I mean, so one division is going to put two teams in the playoffs. One's going to win it from the divisional side. One's going to get in as a wild card. And then you've got the Panthers as the other wild card. That loss to the Rams by the Seahawks, I think, knocked them out of contention. And I don't see any of those schlubs in the second tier of the NFC East making a run. Dallas, forget it. You know, everybody is – they had a nice win, which that's what Dallas does. Dallas is going to beat somebody that people don't think they should beat. That's what an 8-8 team does every year. They beat a team they're not supposed to beat, and they lose to teams they're not supposed to lose to.
Have you ever in your entire life been positive about your team?
Yes.
There a year where you were just – everything was great?
Yes. And Romo dropped an extra point and broke my heart. That should have been Dallas playing New England in the Super Bowl. But that dropped extra point by Tony Romo opened the door. Dallas destroyed the Giants that year. Destroyed them. Won the East going away. And that one game, Romo's drop will get Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame. It's going to get him in the Hall of Fame. Because if Romo doesn't drop that extra point, there is no magic against an undefeated New England team. None.
I don't think Eli deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Just because he won two Super Bowls, I mean, I'm sorry.
It's more than just that, Lonzo. It's more than just that. It's who he beat, how he beat him, the amount of passing yards he's got. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he deserves to get in. Absolutely.
Has he passed up Brett Favre as the most interceptions thrown yet?
Possibly.
No, he's got to be working on it. You better hurry, though.
And look, he's on the last frame in a bowling term of his career. I mean, he's in the 10th frame of his career. Now, a lot of people think the Giants made a mistake by taking Saquon Barkley. I don't. You get the best player you can and then build your franchise. You can't pass up on a kid that looks like he may overtake Emmitt Smith as the NFL's all-time leading rusher if he can stay healthy.
I like Barkley. I thought that was a good move, too.
I do, too. So now you've got to go out and find your franchise quarterback.
Is there one out there coming up?
Coming out of college? I'm trying to think right offhand. I'll have to do some research on that. I mean, a lot of people are saying Tua. I'm not real big on Tua translating to the NFL. I don't think – now, a lot of people want to say he's the second coming of Russell Wilson – he's not as athletic as Russell Wilson. This is the huddle at ESPN Upstate. Today, I'm glad we're not out on remote. It is definitely not a day to be outside.
You know, those tents are nice, but they don't stop the wind from blowing in.
No.
And the wind is blowing sideways a lot, and the rain would be coming in. It would be rough.
Yes, Forrest Gump would say you got to watch out for that sideways rain. And we've got a lot of sideways rain. You asked going out to break which quarterback's coming out. There's three quarterbacks coming out of college. And I said I had to do some thinking because there's always every year quarterbacks that we don't hear about or what we do. I'm not ready to say Will Greer is ready to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL. Although if he leads West Virginia to a Big 12 title and a berth in the playoff, we might think different. But right now, my three quarterbacks that I think are in contention to be the Raiders' number one pick is Justin Herbert out of Oregon, 6'5", 225, got a cannon of an arm, can make all the throws. I like that kid. He's very athletic to be that big. The other kid is Daniel Jones. He's a 6'6 kid out of Duke. We're getting ready to see him in primetime versus Clemson. If he has an outstanding game against the Tigers, this game here may win him the number one overall pick. Because if Daniel Jones goes out there and throws for 300-plus yards against Clemson's defense, every NFL GM is going to want to clamor for the kid. And the other thing about him is he's going to have David Cutcliffe's name stamped all over him. And, oh, yeah, Cutcliffe has turned out some okay quarterbacks. All of them have gone to the Hall of Fame, quite honestly. Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, although Lonzo doesn't think so.
No.
So Daniel Jones is the second one I would take a look at. And then the other one is Tyree Jackson. And everybody's looking at me like, Phillips, Tyree Jackson, who the heck is Tyree Jackson?
Yeah, including me. I'm like, should I know that name?
No. Matter of fact, nobody except NFL personnel will know about Tyree Jackson. Tyree Jackson is a 6'6", 230-pound quarterback out of Buffalo that can throw the ball like Warren Moon. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Warren Moon, but this kid, he's this year's Josh Allen. Remember that name, Tyree Jackson, Buffalo University. Nobody, and I mean nobody on the planet, anywhere outside of an NFL war room is going to know who he is, except me. Oh, yeah, speaking of that, I had some great news coming into the year. I'm moving over to quarterbacks. I'm ecstatic. Two positions I've never coached. In my career, I've coached every position except quarterbacks and offensive line. And now, heading into the 2019 year, I'll be coaching the quarterbacks. Cannot wait. I'm so excited. Great group of guys that we've got. Can't wait to get to spring practice and get to work with those kids. Remember those three names. Justin Herbert, most people have heard of him from Oregon. And these parts, Daniel Jones, most people have heard of him. The one guy nobody is talking about, and they should, is Tyree Jackson out of Buffalo. Come April, and I'm planning on going to the draft in Nashville. Come April, do not be shocked to see Tyree Jackson from Buffalo go in the first round or possibly the number one overall pick. Remember where you heard that. They would do well. He would do well either in New York, which I think Gettleman, there's no question the Giants are going quarterback in the first round this year. No doubt. None. It's almost like you have no choice, although Gettleman always has surprises. You know, Gettleman likes to build his team, unless it's a surefire number one overall pick, like Cam Newton. He usually goes off the reservation. He'll get a defensive guy. Wouldn't be shocked if he went that route because they are a ton of elite defensive linemen in this year's draft. But we'll see. There's been other surprises. KJ Costello out of Stanford, somebody just asked me about him. He's a mid to late round, first round pick that you can bring along. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up at New England. If you want to join the discussion, jump in the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. Join us on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Or hit us up on the call-in line, 844-477-3776. Tell us who you'd like to see for the playoff. Would it be good if somehow the SEC got two teams into the playoff? Would that make the committee want to expand the playoff to eight teams?
We've seen that. We don't need to see it again.
Yeah, but you got to keep them out. See, here's the problem. Teams open the door for that stuff to happen. You know, I'll never forget, everybody was whining and moaning and complaining. What was it, 7-8 years ago, Alabama played LSU during the regular season and lost. And everybody started talking about, oh, well, there's no way Alabama can get back into the national championship after that loss. And you know what? They shouldn't have.
Kansas. No, they shouldn't have.
No, they shouldn't have. Kansas State was undefeated. Oklahoma State was undefeated. And yes, that was the year that Oklahoma State had that horrendous plane crash that killed half of their basketball team and administrators. But see, what people don't talk about is Oklahoma State was up almost 20 points in the fourth quarter and lost. Lost. You can't blame that on the plane crash. Kansas State was undefeated going into the last game of the year and blew a 10-point lead and lost in the fourth quarter, which opened the door for Alabama to play LSU for, what was it, the last or next to last BCS national championship, in which Alabama won. But it took two teams doing something they shouldn't have done. And everybody's on this SEC fatigue. Okay, well then close the door. Finish. Don't allow it to happen. Meaning Oklahoma, finish the job. West Virginia, finish the job. Michigan, finish the job. And you're not going to have to worry about it. Because I'm sold that three out of the four playoff spots are solved. Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame. Who do you want in that fourth spot? This is The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. I don't know if today's a good day for a white wedding.
Every day is a good day for a white wedding.
You would probably have one. Lonzo probably had his wedding in the rain.
I did not.
Which, let me say, congratulations to Lonzo and his missus, 27 years.
26.
That's awesome, man.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Next month. I just got to make it there without doing something, you know, very stupid between now and then.
Well, I mean, you've made it 26 years. What's another 26 days?
Yeah, that's true. But you never know with me. No, I think I'll be good.
Texer gets in, disagreeing with us. The Rams will not be able to beat the Saints for the NFC. I like it.
It's going to be interesting. It really is. I mean, who do you put your money on? I don't know. I mean, Drew Brees, awful good.
The other,
but I think well, I think the combines. Rams. I think Rams overall is a better team.
See, and that's what I'm going with. I'm going with the fact that I'm still not sold on New Orleans defense. They're outscoring people. And look, that's the name of the game now in football. Defense definitely isn't it. But the closest, most complete defense in the NFL right now is the Rams. I mean, their defensive line with Aaron Donald, I mean, they're solid at all three levels. And you're talking about the Saints are going to have to go on the road if everything holds serve. Although they've got the same record as the Rams do with one loss. So now I will say this. If the Rams have to go to New Orleans to play the NFC Championship, that might be a problem. But even then, it's hard for me not to go with L.A. Because they can – I mean, they're so dynamic offensively. I mean, how do you stop them? They can run the ball. And New Orleans is the same way. They can run the ball with Kamara. They can bring in Tyson Hill and run some wild Saint stuff, which we saw Sean Payton do late in that game. And then they threw in the jump pass, which was awesome. Should have been a touchdown. I mean, I understand why the Texter says the Saints. And they've been there before. Drew Brees. Sean Payton, they've won a Super Bowl before. And here's the other thing. You know, you and I were picking at each other about Tom Brady being the greatest of all time. You know what? If somebody was to tell me Drew Brees is the greatest of all time, I would not argue that point. I mean, he is setting NFL records for touchdowns, probably going to be yardage. Yeah, he's already won a Super Bowl, and he's 5'8".
Most people's criteria are Super Bowl wins, though.
He's checked the box.
I know he's got one.
And he's 5'8".
Is he legitimately 5'8", or is he shorter than that?
No, he's short. Yeah, he's short. There were two quarterbacks. When I was coaching at the University of Central Arkansas, we went down and our head coach knew Sean Payton. And we went down and watched a couple of the practices, and yeah, he's short.
Did you look eye to eye with him?
I looked down on him.
Did you really?
Yes. Huh. And I'm 5'11". I was shocked. But I was also shocked that a guy was bigger than I thought. I also went to a Indianapolis practice and stood behind Peyton Manning. That is a big dude.
Well, his head alone is pretty large, so everything else would
look, you can't
up,
be making fun of Mask.
My head's pretty large, too, so I can make fun of anybody's head if I want to.
Did you miss that movie reference?
No, I got it. You got it? Okay. I got it. Now I hear Cher in my head. Thank you.
Exactly. I expected her to be at the practice when I was there. But Peyton Manning was bigger than what I thought.
I wonder if anyone's measured Peyton Manning's forehead.
Barry Bonds. They've got the same ball cap.
I was going to say, I think Peyton Manning's forehead's bigger. I think it could show a movie on it. But
you might. You definitely might could. Texer gets in with us. Coach, do you expect Zach Pickens and Tyler Helinski to make big-time contributions next year for Carolina? Absolutely. I'm expecting Tyler Helinski to be the quarterback. And Zach Pickens is on the 36-month contract, which means he will be a day-one starter until he gets NFL draft ready, and then he will be a top 10 NFL draft pick. Pickens is a freak athlete. Absolute freak athlete. Now, is he in the mold of Clowney? No. if people start comparing him to Clowney, I may scream, because Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney was a once in a lifetime. He wasn't once in a generation. He was a once in a lifetime player. But Pickens is an absolute monster get for South Carolina and will be a stalwart on their defensive line and will wreak havoc from day one when he gets to Columbia. Absolutely, Texer, Pickens and Helinski will make an immediate impact in a massive way. I hope Gamecock fans will, regardless of how well he does on the field, I hope they will wrap their arms around the Helinski family as well as Tyler. Of course, everybody will know the story about his brother tragically committing suicide. And I hope a lot of people believe that's what spurred him into becoming a Gamecock, of getting a fresh start, coming to the East Coast, getting off the West Coast. And I hope the Gamecock fan base, as all fan bases, will embrace him and his family and not just make him feel welcomed, but make him feel loved in a way that only people from the South can do. But no question, Zach Pickens is an absolute star in the making if they can keep him healthy. 3 years in the weight room down there with Coach Delman, that kid is going to be he's going to be unblockable.
By the way, I have some breaking Panther news.
Uh-oh.
Panthers have waived C.J. Anderson.
Really?
Yes.
Why? So that means there's getting ready to be a police report come out.
When we signed C.J. in the spring, he saw a bigger role than he has had. And honestly, at the time, so did we, general manager Marty Kearney said in a statement. But Christian McCaffrey has taken some, and it goes on. So it's about basically Christian McCaffrey's role is so much bigger that they have no place for C.J. Anderson. We've remarked on the show, why is Anderson not doing anything? And it's always been because McCaffrey's
– he got beat out.
Yeah, McCaffrey's just that good. But you got to have a backup. I think there's something more to it.
And you know, a lot of times what happens when a veteran gets beat out by a rook, man, they get sour. And if you get sour in the NFL, you start sucking eggs in the NFL, they'll cut you. They don't want to deal with that. Unless you are a perennial all-pro, they're not going to deal with feeling sorry and, oh, woe is me. And
but think about it. If you listen to the quote, he saw a bigger role than he has had, and honestly, at the time, so did we. I think that means that he didn't live up to expectations. That's what I get out of it. They thought he would do more than what he's done.
Well, and I'm sure they thought, well, McCaffrey's going to make him a better player from a competition standpoint, and he didn't step up his game.
When they signed him, it looked like it would be a really good 1-2 punch. And,
right.
And it just never happened.
See, that's something that always gets under my skin, because I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if it's college football. I don't care if it's high school football. Okay? It's about performance. It's not about who your mom and daddy is. It's not about who's in the booster club. It's not about, you know, who 4-star, 5-star, or any of that junk. It's about, can you perform when it's time to perform and those guys play? And if you don't perform, you better figure out what you need to do to get better. Not go cry and whine that, oh, I'm not getting enough reps. Or coach don't like me. Coaches like performers. You either get the job done or you don't. This is The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. Welcome back to the final segment of today's Huddle. On this blistery, rainy, nasty November the 12th, 2018 edition of The Huddle, I'm Josh Phillips. I'll be sitting in today and tomorrow for Greg McKinney as GMAC is, let's just say, getting his days in, and that's good. That's good for the big guy. So we'll be bouncing along. Some news to pass along. The South Carolina-Clemson game time has been released. It will be at 7 p.m. on ESPN Eastern Time. So ESPN has just released that they will be carrying the South Carolina Clemson game, and kickoff will be at 7 p.m. Let's go to the phone lines and get Billy in before we close. Billy, welcome to the huddle.
Josh, good to hear you, buddy. I had to get in when I heard you was on. I just wanted to make two quick points, and I'll hang up and listen.
Go ahead.
First
good
is
to
about
hear
South
from
Carolina.
You.
Yeah, the first is about South Carolina and Muschamp. You know, it's just old habits are just hard to break when you know you're hurting on defense. And I do trust him to address the defense with recruiting, and I think he knows defense, and I trust him on that. But right now they just don't have the horses. It's about personnel, and they don't have the personnel depth-wise or even on the starting units. They've got some pieces, but they're just missing too many. And when you know that's happening, you don't take your foot up off the accelerator. You just continue to try to score, and I hate that he tried to run out the time, and it obviously bit him in the, you know what.
Yeah, it did. And you would have liked to have seen him. I mean, Deebo Samuel only having four touches is sinful. I mean, that kid has got to touch the ball. Whether it's jet sweeps, whether it's screens, you've got to get creative. He's your best offensive weapon. He was given Florida fits. I mean, he had 120 receiving yards. He should have had a 250 complete yard, meaning running, passing, throwing,
total
catching.
Yards.
Yeah, total yards. Easy in that game. And they didn't, to me, it wasn't about defense or offense or the play calling. It was about Deebo Samuel just didn't touch the ball enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. But anyway, moving on to my next point, you were talking about quarterbacks. Being a Dallas fan, I'm dying for one. You know, the person that I feel the most bad about because of what's going on is not the coaching staff. They're probably going to lose their job over this, and probably rightfully so. But I feel really bad for Zeke because Zeke, to me, is definitely the best running back in football. And that's not to take anything away from anybody else. But just pure runner, he is the best runner. And you can see that last night. The problem is he's got no offense around him because everybody knows that Dak Prescott can't read a defense, and they put nine guys in the box most of the time or play a cover one or even a cover zero, which you rarely ever see outside of the red zone in the NFL, because they know they've got to stop Zeke. And it showed last night. And if he had a quarterback that could actually read a defense and go through his progressions, Zeke would be unstoppable. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. I appreciate you, Josh. I'll probably talk to you more. Take care, buddy.
Sounds good. Thank you, Billy, for the phone call. You know, one thing about the Dak Prescott situation is, look, I'm not ready to blame Dak for a lot of this stuff because, look, Dallas does not have a premier wide receiver. I mean, tell me a wide receiver that Dallas should not have even been within 10 points of Philly yesterday. It shouldn't have happened. But they somehow scraped together. Rod Marinelli's worth his weight in gold from a defensive standpoint. But Dallas has got to address their two things. They've got to draft an elite field-stretching wide receiver. They've got to get another tight end in there. And they've got to address the issues in the secondary. If they do those three things, Dallas can go to the Super Bowl. The problem is, the staff is too stupid to recognize it. I will see you tomorrow. Thank you to Lonzo. Thank you to all of our listeners. It's what you that makes our program. This has been The Huddle at ESPN Upstate. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.